Welcome. You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. May God help you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. By the way, if you are listening on an iPhone, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I think about the world in which we live in today, there seems to be a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety, even to the point of panic. Not a good thing, but I can understand it from one perspective. But from another perspective, though, God gives us many, many reasons to not get drawn into that in a negative way, but rather to remain trusting in the Almighty God, our solid rock in the midst of the storm in which our nation and the world is now in. Thinking about that topic, what I wanted to do is put together something that would be beneficial for us and even for other people as well. So what I did this past week is I wrote a new brochure. It's called Your Path to the No Worry Zone. In other words, you might be in a state of uncertainty, anxiety, and panic, but how do you get from there into the No Worry Zone? That's what this brochure is about. So let me share it with you now. As I think about the No Worry Zone, how could we describe this place? It's a real place. It's a place I believe that few people know about. It's a place where everyone is welcome. It's a place where it is free to enter, and it is free to stay there. And I believe that when you're in that place, it will transform your life in a wonderful way. So all kinds of good stuff about the No Worry Zone. As I go into this, I invite you to keep your mind open, to keep your heart open, to know it's all based on the Word of God, and therefore it is true, it cannot fail. I have a number of different sections here in the brochure, but we need to lay the foundation first of all, maybe not for us, but maybe for other people. So first of all, the Bible is true. How do I know that? There are many good reasons, but just to share one with you, there are thousands of times when God told men to write down his holy word, and he told them to write down something that would happen before it happened, and then what happened? It did happen, just as God has said. Over and over again, that was the case. Anytime we approach the Bible, let us remember God is almighty, so he can do anything. Let us also remember God is holy, so he must do what he has promised. Two very important things. Just a few passages real quick. In Proverbs chapter 30, it says, every word of God proves true. That has happened over and over again. Over the centuries, people have said, oh, that can't be true in the Bible. But then what happens over a period of time, it is proven to be true. Over and over again. Let's be confident in the word of God. Also, too, think about what Jesus prayed there. Thinking about his high priestly prayer, he was praying for his followers, and in part of the prayer he said to the Father, your word is truth. That is, again, so important. Let us always approach the Bible knowing it is God's word, it is true. And then people wonder, how did the words of God get into this book that I have in my hand? How did that happen? Well, it tells us right there in 2 Peter, it says, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the words of God came right out of the mouth of God. It says in 2 Timothy that the word of God is God-breathed. So it came out of the mouth of God the Father, and then God the Holy Spirit, he's the one who moved men to write down the very words that came out of the mouth of God. So that's what we have here right in the Bible. This is the word of God. These are the words of God the Father. God wants us to be certain of that. And then, let's know that we're not here by random chance, we didn't evolve, but rather God made us. How do I know that? Somebody might say, wait a minute, Pastor, that's not true. God didn't make me, my parents made me. That's where I came from. But then I have to say, well, okay, wait a minute now. Where did your parents come from? And they'd be like, that's easy. That was my grandparents. Where did they come from? That was my great-grandparents. And if I ask them that like over and over and over again, and if we could only do the genealogy study all the way back to the Garden of Eden, we would find out that the Bible says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That's where we all came from. God made one person. From the first person, he made the second person. From those two people came all the people on earth. Think about this statement in Acts chapter 17. God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. Again, when I say those things, they might seem remarkable, but keep in mind, the Bible is the word of God. God is almighty. God is holy. It's all true. Let's never waver on any of that. And then, because God made us, what is he doing? God is sustaining us. Also in Acts chapter 17, it says, in God, we live and move and have our being. We live and move and have our being. Without God, we do not live. Without God, we cannot move. Without God, we don't even exist. So in God, we live and move and have our being. Let's never forget that. And then think about what the psalm writer prayed to the Lord. He prayed, the eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. So every creature of any kind, every person, whether they believe or not, God is opening his almighty hands and satisfying everyone's physical needs. God is so good. God's been doing that since the beginning of creation. And then let's know that God loves us. It's not that he just made us and he provides our food. God loves us. So thinking about the whole situation of God's love, though, let's just back up for a moment. Let's understand that God is a God of great love, but before he created, he had no one to love. So God said, okay, I'm a God who wants to love, so I'm going to make people, and then I can shower my love upon them. Now, God loves his entire creation, but if you think about God creating, on each day of creation, God is getting everything exactly ready so that then, on the second half of day six, then he can make the pinnacle of his creation. That would be you and me. That would be all the people. So we are the most important part. He gets everything ready, then he makes us, then he puts us into his creation. God loves us more than everything else that he made. God did it, and then sadly, the people very quickly fell into sin. But because God is a God of great love, God continued to love them. God promised that in so many words, he would send his son to take away their sins. And then we jump ahead to the most familiar verse in the whole Bible, probably, John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world. That's the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So though we've all messed up big time, God continues to love us, God sent his son, and Jesus has taken away the sin of the world. God wants us to know that sometimes on this earth, life can be pretty nice. But he wants us to know, though, that life with him in paradise, that's going to be awesome. That is coming in Jesus Christ. And then, let's know that God took away our sins. Let's look at this a little bit more carefully for those who aren't quite sure how this works. So we do think about what I said to the children earlier, how Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How did he do that? Let's keep in mind those two realities. He had to live a sinless life. He had to die as the ultimate sacrifice to remove the sins. So he has to have both things in place. He did it. He did it perfectly. He did it for all. And then, thinking a little bit more technically about the process, then, because people might say, I don't get it, Pastor. This Jewish man lived 2,000 years ago. He lived, he died, okay. How does that benefit me? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Well, we have to go a little bit further, and we can take a look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It starts off with the words, he made him. So it's talking about God the Father made God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Jesus. So it's saying that Jesus had no sin, and then at the appropriate time, God took our sins and put them upon him. He was punished for what we did, so he paid our penalty. And then, by our God-given faith in Jesus, something comes from him to us, and that would be the very righteousness of God, the very requirement that God has made for people to be with him forever. So our sins go to him, and then from him to us comes righteousness, and that is by grace through faith. In the next section here, I state that God knows all of our days. Nothing is a surprise to God. God has it all figured out. He knows everything in advance. Consider these couple passages here. In Isaiah chapter 46, God said, I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done. Think about how awesome God is. That's talking about God's divine foreknowledge. So God knows in advance all that will happen. Is this whole coronavirus, is that somehow a mystery to God? It snuck up on God. It caught him unprepared. By no means. God knew all about this even before he created the world. So he has it all figured out. He knows about it. He's in control. God wants us to be sure of that. And then thinking about our own individual lives. It's kind of overwhelming if you think about it. They say that right now there are 7.53 billion people in the world. How could God keep track of all those different people? We must be like nothing to God, right? Well, that's not true. God knows all about us. Even before any of us came out of our mother's wombs, God knew every single day of our lives. Let's never doubt that God is an awesome, awesome God. Think about how the psalm writer prayed to God. He prayed, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So for every one of us, God knew the day we would be conceived. God knew the day we would be born. God knows the day we will die. He has it all in his hands. We don't have to be concerned about these things. It's not that things are happening every day by random chance. Oh, this might happen, this might happen, this might happen, and let's get all concerned about it. Life isn't like that. It might seem like that, but it's not like that, though. God knows all of it in advance. God has all of it figured out. He wants us to be sure of that. And then I think God wants us to step back and look around a little bit at what he's doing in the world every day. I want to go here to some portions of Matthew chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is where Jesus tells us, do not worry. Jesus said, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. After that statement, Jesus asks a question. Think about what he said here. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Is not life more than food? Is not the body more than clothing? What he's saying there is is that God has given us life itself. So what does life need? Life needs food. Which is more important, the life or the food? The life is far more important than the food. So Jesus is saying, God has given you life. He's given you something really important. So certainly, he's going to give you the food for the life, because the food is much less important than the life. And then Jesus is saying, God has given you a body. So you should know with all certainty that certainly he's going to give you clothes to put on that body. The clothes are not nearly as important as the body. So again, he wants us to be certain that because God has given us the greater, God will certainly give us the lesser. And then Jesus went on and said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So thinking about the birds and how they function, and then Jesus asked the question, are not you of more value than they? If you think about the 6 days of creation, it was on day number 5 that God made the birds, but God made the birds to be a blessing to us. Think about how it is on a nice summer day and you have the windows open during the night, and what is your alarm clock? Your alarm clock are the birds singing you awake in the morning. What an amazing thing. How good is God to us with the birds? Do we need the birds? We don't, but they're a special blessing from the Almighty God. But the birds were on day 5, the animals were on the first part of day 6, and then come the people on the second part of day 6. But God was getting everything ready in order to be a blessing to us. He wants us to know that we are far more important than the birds. So as God takes care of them, so much more will he take care of us. We are much more important, so let us not worry. And then to keep things in perspective, at the end of this section, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus was saying, focus on me. Know that through me, your sins are forgiven. Know that through me, you are a member of the family of God. You are a member of the kingdom of God. He's saying, know that all of that is true. Keep your focus on me. Keep your focus on my heavenly Father. Keep your focus on God's holy word. And what will I do? What will God the Father do? We will provide all that you need. Don't worry about it. Focus on us, and I'll take care of the rest. Now, that's a step of faith, isn't it? Because some people are like, oh, wait a minute now. If I keep my focus on God, then I might not have what I need. But if we look at it that way, though, then we're saying, you said it, Jesus, but I don't believe you, so I'm not going to focus on you. I need to take care of my stuff. That's no faith. Faith is following what God says in his word, knowing that it cannot fail. Why is it not able to fail? Because God is almighty, because God is holy. Those things never stop being true. Some other ways to think about it too, Jesus is saying, keep God first in your life. Listen to him every day through the Bible. Talk to him every day through prayer. Gather with others like we are now for word and sacrament, and know that God will carry you through every circumstance of life. Coming to the final section now, this is a section where God wants to make a trade with us. So this is maybe the most important part of the sermon in a sense. I've been building up to this in the brochure. So God wants to make a deal with us. Now think about maybe something you've done, maybe as a kid, maybe as an adult, but you made a trade with someone. When we make a trade, we're hoping to make out in the trade. We're hoping that maybe I can have something that I think is of maybe lesser value, and I can trade it to my friend and get something from him maybe of greater value. We're hoping for that in a trade, aren't we? When we think about God trading with us, it is such an unfair thing that God wants to do here. Not unfair to us, unfair to him. If we could put the trade in a monetary form, it would be like God saying to us, hey, I've got $10,000 here, and I'll give it to you if you're willing to give me a penny. Well, that would be quite a foolish trade on the part of God, but that's how God wants to trade with us. So going to the key passage here then, we're in Philippians 4, you know it well already, but that's where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Let's look at it a little bit more closely. So it says, be anxious for nothing. So that means if you're anxious only a little bit about one thing, that's part of what you're anxious about. If there's something really big over here and you're anxious about that, that's also part of it. So I would recommend this. I would recommend taking a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil and begin to write down every single thing that you're anxious about. No matter what it is, no matter how big, no matter how small, write it down. Make a list. So gather up those things that you're anxious about. And then what did God say to do? He said to give those to me, and he said to do so with prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving. So how could you do it in a practical way then? Go to number one on your list, read it off, and hand it to God through prayer. So say, God, here is this thing I'm anxious about, and you've asked me to give it to you, so here it is. So praying is simply to do so with our words and thoughts, give it to God. Also, too, it says in there to do so with supplication. Supplication is a very earnest prayer, a very serious prayer. So with some things, they can be very troublesome to us, and we are crying out to God saying, dear God, this item is overwhelming me. I'm so anxious about it. Please take it. Take it out of my life. So in a very serious way, God is saying, give it to me. But did you notice so what else? He said, do so with prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving. As we make a list of what we're anxious about, what's going to fill our mind big time at that moment? We're going to be filled with anxiety. We're going to be like, wow, look at all that stuff. I'm anxious about so many things. But he's saying, though, as we begin to take those things to him, do so with thanksgiving. So as we step back from the list, we're going to realize, wait a minute, in the midst of all this anxiety, I am blessed in so many ways. I know the Bible is the Word of God. Thank you, dear God, for showing that to me. I know that Jesus is the Son of God. Thank you, dear God, for making that known to me. I have my confidence in Jesus as my Savior. Thank you, dear God, for helping me to know that in Christ my sins are forgiven. Dear God, I have food in my refrigerator and in the cupboards. Thank you, dear God, I have food to eat today and tomorrow and even in the weeks ahead. So as we're going through our list of anxieties, God is saying, remember how blessed you are. And as you're giving me what you're anxious about, also tell me how you are thankful for your blessings. Now, what's going on there with that? What's the purpose of that? God knows it's easy for us to focus on what we're anxious about. So as we begin to give him thanks, what is he doing? He is shifting our focus from our anxiety, from our troubles, over to our blessings. And then in the process too, as we go down the list, item by item by item, I would encourage you to cross that item out and go all the way down through so that in the end, what do you have then? You have a list and all the items are crossed out. Everything you're anxious about is with God. And what you have now, you're focusing on how much you are blessed. And what do you have? You have God's peace that passeth all understanding. Now, what happens though? Let's be honest here. When we give things to God, we're pretty good at grabbing them back, aren't we? Now, it's foolish that we do, but we probably all do it, though. We have a trouble, we give it to God, and then we snatch it right back. What do we do then? It's a real simple thing. We simply give it to God again. Every time we find what we're anxious about in our possession, God is saying, give it back to me again. And the more we give it to God, I believe the more he will have what we are anxious about, and the more we will have his gift of peace. I have a list here at the end. So I'm saying here that God's peace is possible for us in every circumstance. And let me name 7 reasons why. Number 1, God loves us with an everlasting love. Number 2, God has gifted us with full forgiveness through Jesus. Number 3, God is in control of all things. Number 4, God will provide whatever we need. Number 5, God is much greater than any problem. Number 6, God is working all things together for our good. And finally, number 7, when we die, God will immediately take us to paradise. With all that I've said today, I hope you can see how the brochure is laying a foundation for people who don't have that foundation, and then it is building and building on how God has done many wonderful things already, how much he loves us, how he is in control of all things, how we can make this wonderful trade with him. And if we believe all that to be true, if we make application of that in our lives, I believe that will be a great blessing to all of us. And what God is giving us the opportunity to do is to not only pick up a copy of the brochure today and be able to look at it again ourselves, but to pick up more than one copy so we can pass it on to anyone else who has any kind of anxiety or worry of any kind. And with this brochure, not only can God bring them peace, but he can also give them Jesus Christ if they don't have him already, and he can give them his peace, which passeth all understanding. May God grant these blessings to us now. May we have them firmly. May we continue to hang on to them, and may God use us to be a blessing to others. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you so much for caring about every detail of our lives and wanting us to give you everything that we're anxious about. Help us to actually go through the process I mentioned, dear Father, and every time we need to go through it again, help us to do that, and may you help us to grow more and more in having your perfect peace, and may you also then use us to be a special blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have a Bible question, contact me, Robert Green, through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church home, see our website and attend with us. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.